And now, today's word.
When I talk about boldness, these are not what we are talking about. Bullying and threatening others, boasting, being loud-mouthed, acting without thought or wisdom. That's not the boldness we are talking about. So what boldness are we talking about? If we talk about the righteous are as bold as a lion, what kind of boldness is that? First, it is our boldness that is grounded in righteousness. It's a boldness that is grounded in righteousness. That's where our boldness is. It is grounded in righteousness. And this is the source of the Christian's boldness. We are bold because of what Christ has done for us. We are bold because of who God is to us. I said at the beginning, righteous and wicked is not just about actions, it's about relationship with God. The wicked is the one who has no relationship with God. The righteous is the one who has a relationship with God. Therefore, my righteousness is based on my relationship with God. The deeper my relationship with God, the deeper my boldness. The less my relationship with God, the less my boldness. If I'm far away from the Lord, I will feel threatened by every situation. If I'm close to the Lord, I am confident even in the valley of the shadow of death. The believer's righteousness is the source of their boldness. So when it says the righteous are as bold as a lion, don't just be a lion first, but have a relationship with God. And on the back of that relationship, you are now going to enter life and you would not be afraid of any predator that wants to take you out. So what does all of that mean? First, it means having a right relationship with God. Begins with our salvation, making Jesus the Lord of our lives, asking the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide us, walking in the light of God's word. That's where our righteousness starts from, having a relationship with God through salvation, through Jesus Christ. By coming on earth, Jesus bridged the gap between us and God. By dying on the cross, Jesus removed the obstacle of sin that existed between us and our Heavenly Father. By resurrecting from the dead, Jesus demonstrated that we have victory over every evil power. By his ascension, Jesus guarantees the relationship we have with our Heavenly Father. That is the first basis of our boldness, our relationship with God. Secondly, it is seeing ourselves as God sees us. God sees us in Christ. And we should also see ourselves in Christ. And because he is beloved, we are also beloved. Because Christ is accepted, we are also accepted. As he is, so are we. He is above, so we are also above. He overcame, so we also overcome. He is a conqueror, so we are also conquerors. When you see yourself the way God sees you, it changes your perspective. The story is told of Gideon, who thinks he's a feeble person. He's threshing wheat in the vine press. He's hiding from the Midianites. To all intents and purposes, if you saw Gideon, you would say, what a weak guy. He's afraid. He's an afraid man. But how does God see Gideon? God, the angel of the Lord, comes to Gideon, and he says to Gideon, you are a mighty man of valor. What? Mighty man of valor. But he's hiding. God says, yeah, you think you are weak, but I see you as strong. You think you are down, I see you as above. You think that you are a prey, I see you as undevourable. That's how God sees you. And that's the source of our boldness, because God sees me as a conqueror. I see myself as a conqueror. And I believe no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Not because I'm special or I'm a very unique human being above all human beings, but because Christ has made me who I am. I see myself in him. That is the source of my boldness. Boldness is not bravado. It's not going beating your chest and say, hey, me, I don't fear anything. I don't fear anything. On what basis? I don't fear. What's the basis of your I don't fear? If you say, well, because my father was a brave man, that's a weak basis. Because my ancestors were hunters, that's a weak basis. Because in our family, we don't fear anybody, that's weak. Because your family is not the basis of your boldness. But if you go about saying, I don't fear anything, I'm strong. And they ask you, why? You say, because Christ is in me and I am in him. Because he overcame, I overcome. Because he conquers, I conquer too. Because he can do all things, I can do all things. All things are possible to God. All things are possible to him who believes. My possibility is based on God's possibility. And when Christ is the source of your boldness, your family may change, your location may change, your tribe may change, your circumstance may change, but your boldness will never change. Because nobody can annul the basis of your boldness. It's Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has made you. If the Son sets you free, you are freely free. You are freely free, free indeed. In other words, you are free double. You are double free, free. That's what free indeed means. Free, free. You are free, free. That's our boldness. And that's why you can do the things that God says you can do. The bold person is a person who is able to do the things that God wants them to do. And the things that God wants you to do are not always easy to do. God is going to demand things from you that you think you can't do. But when God says you can do it, you can do it. Amen? Amen. If God says you can do it, you can do it. Amen. So if God says build it, you can build it. If God says buy it, you can buy it. If God says marry, you can marry. Economy or no economy, when God says do it, you can do it. So one of the sources of your boldness is to find out, what is God impressing on my heart to do? Is he telling me to start a new project? Is he telling me to build a house? Is he telling me to buy a land? Is he telling me to start something? Is he telling me to believe for that? Whatever he says you should do, you can do it. Because with every command of God, there comes an equal measure of grace to enable you to do it. Grace is God's addition and compensation for your human weaknesses, so that where you are weak, you become strong. If he says you can do it, you can do it. Grace is available. Boldness is doing what God says you can do. Many of us are doing the things that Ghana says we can do. And Ghana will tell you so many things cannot be done. If you are a young man, you are in love, you've seen the love of your life, a young lady, you're just out of university, you work for 3-4 years, but it's as if you are still in secondary school, salary-wise. Salary is not good. The lady, too, her salary is not good. You are in love. You want to marry, but Ghana tells you economy is bad. And if you are not careful, you reduce the relationship to a guilty relationship where you are there and today you are having sex here, today you are fornicating there, and you feel guilty and you feel bad. You are with a girl and then she gets pregnant and you say, we haven't married her, go and remove the pregnancy. And you are complicating your whole life, your future children, you are throwing them away. But you love the lady. You love the lady. Marry! He that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. You already have favor. Marry! But Pastor, we are broke. Who told you broke is an enemy of marriage? One shall put away 1,000. Two shall put away 10,000. Your marriage makes you stronger, better, bolder, richer, more equipped, wiser, smarter. So you don't have the money, but the marriage is what will give you the money. So that when you are making one foolish decision, you can tell on the bed and say, honey, this is what I want to do. What do you think? He says, honey, this one is foolish, oh. Then you're becoming wiser. It takes boldness to say, God has given me the love of my life. I'm not going to mistreat her. I'm not going to start this relationship on guilt, on shame. I want to start this relationship in dignity, in honor. When I was married, my wife would tell you, I didn't have anything. Didn't have a bed, didn't have chair, didn't have cutlery, didn't have plate. You tell him. We married, the first furniture for our room was benches. Discarded benches from the church. Those days we didn't used to sit on nice chairs, benches, and I improved them by painting them white. I have always been a man of improvement, of excellence. I say it's a bench, but let's apply excellence here, paint it white. And that's what we had in our sitting room, if you call that a sitting room. Benches. But we were together. We pray together. We believe together. Then we move from benches. If you are waiting to be rich before you marry, your head is not working. All of you young men, your head is not working. You don't want to marry, but you are sleeping together. You don't want to marry, but you are sleeping together. What is reserved for marriage? You want it, but you don't want the process. Your head is hurting you. It's paining you. Be bold. Marry. Set the date. If you are afraid of veil, don't veil. If you are afraid of gown, don't gown. If you are afraid of wedding cake, don't cake. Just come to the church office. This is the woman I want. This is the man I want. Do you? I do. Go. That's how it's done. Then from there you start together, in agreement, praying together, thinking together, planning together, acting together. And you would see that the battles you are fighting now become easier. One gets down, the other pulls him back. The one is down, the other pulls him back. And step by step, step by step, step by step, step by step. That's how your parents got to where they are. For all the young men and women, this message is for you. Be bold. Parents, tell your sons, be bold. Tell your daughters, be bold. You have stayed here for so long. Be bold and move out. Be bold. Life is never going to be easy at any point. But when you come into agreement and you are purposeful, you boldly do things and you will be able to turn your life around, acquire property 30 years from now, 40 years from now. You will see how far God has brought you. But this dragging the feet, dragging the feet, you want to wait till you are 55. When you are now going to pension and now you have a large two-bedroom house, that's when you want to marry. By the time you are 70, your children are going to write WASI. We'll be praying for them on Sunday morning. Let's pray for all those who are going to write WASI. You are 70, your children are writing WASI. Somebody say, I'll be bold. Say, I'll be bold. Based on the righteousness of God. And if God says I can do it, I can do it. Let's pray. Father, you are our backbone. You are our source. You are the one we lean on. When the waves are strong, we rest in you. When life is difficult, we rest in you. You have never given an assignment that you didn't provide for. And whatever you tell us to do, you have already made provision for it in our future. So based on who you are, we take life with boldness. We seize the opportunities. We seize the moment. And I pray, Father, for your children, that no one will be held back because of lack, because of what they don't have, but their eyes will be turned on your immeasurable provision, your boundless grace, your gifts without limitation, that we can boldly step out and do great things for you in our lives, in our families, as teams, wherever we are. Help us, Lord, to do bold things for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen.